One hotel, their happy hour, or their, not their happy hour, their whatever, they gave free beer away at 5 o'clock.
I remember that.
Never heard of that. They had a keg and they could get free beer.
Are you ready, Supervisor?
That's the only one I've ever been in that's done that, gave away free beer.
Can we start? You three, can we start?
Okay. No.
8:46 on the clock. That's called to order the regular meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open meeting act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. First on the agenda is the consent agenda, and that consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes of the meeting held on November 27, 2013, approve all claims to December 11, 2013 in the amount of $557,511.75. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve canceling check number 131-00241 to Region 5 Systems in the amount of $968. Approve district court's summary fee forecast report and register of deeds fee report for the month of November 2013. Utility permit number 976 for Diller Electric to trench electric line located between Section 6, Township 4 North, Range 5 East in Blakely Township, and Section 31, Township 5 North, Range 5 East in Grant Township. And number 8 is a utility permit, 977 for Great Plains Communications to plow fiber optic line located between Section 1, Township 3 North, Range 8 East in Sherman Township, and Section 36, 25, 24, 13, and 12. Township 4 North, Range 8 East, Philly Township. And that's a correction here different than what was on yours. The section numbers were wrong. So that's what I read in is correct. It was just given to me. So that's the consent agenda 1 through 8. Need a motion to approve, disapprove, or consider something separate?
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
By Setzer. Discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0. Comments for the public and requests for future agenda items. Mr. Fritson.
I've got a few questions. Did I wake anybody on the call?
Here. You got the floor.
Yep. On the wrong.
Yes, sir, you have the floor.
I'm about ready to take your place here. Huh?
Well, it's a wide.
Okay. Len Hart Fritson, Beatrice, Nebraska, where I live. And I'd like to just get a little update on how our bond issue's coming and how much do you guys think it'll run over to get all the culverts and get the thing completely done? We'll run about $1 million more. Will that cover it for all the culverts? And
you mean in the roads that are planned for overlay?
Yeah, the ones that we're going to blacktop. Have you got a rough idea?
We have those outlaid in a map here that we've looked at the last meeting, and Galen is getting estimates on that.
I just kind of wondering if, you know, the bond ain't going to cover it. I mean, I was wondering.
Well, hopefully it might. We'll see today.
The culverts and everything?
Possible.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
But, see, I ain't up to date on it.
Right.
So
I mean, we won't know until today.
Lanart, we had the 29 miles of overlay. We opened the bids here 2 weeks ago.
Done, yeah.
And that came in, our original projections were around $4.5 million for that 29 miles, and that bid came in at a little bit over $4.1 million. So that came in less than the actual original estimate on the bond proposal. So there is some there, and now today we're opening the bids on the 2 miles of South 66. So once we know where all of our bids come in, we started having some of those discussions in our committee meetings already. If and that's another if there's excess funds left in this bond that was voted on, if our cost isn't going to be up there, what happens to that extra amount in there? And what Terry just showed you there was those culverts on the Liberty Wymore blacktop. There's five or six of them, and then there's one down on the Old Dell blacktop that we would really like to replace.
Right now is the time.
Right.
Yeah, we've been having those discussions, and they're getting us cost. We don't have cost estimates on those yet. They're getting us cost estimates to replace those for the culverts and stuff like that. So, yeah. But we don't. That's not to say that if there's money left over from that bond issue that we're going to spend it. We don't know. We also haven't checked with all the, I call them the officials yet, to find out what you can use that, or if you can use that unallocated money that was in that bond issue.
I say you don't.
Because we're not 100% sure. We know there'll be restrictions on it as far as you can only use it as far as those specific projects. In other words, we can't take some of that money if we have $100,000 left over and use it, say, on a Hickory Road project. We know we can't do that. We found that out.
Well,
but what else on these road projects, if there's money available, what else can we use it for? And that we're attempting to find out those details and find out some more of that. Once we know today, we specifically waited until we get done with today so we know if there is money left over, because we don't know what this bid's going to come in at today or whatever. If it'd come in higher than the original proposal, then that shrinks the money and all that. So,
have you kind of got it figured out how many culverts and everything you got to replace?
In that section, I think there's six or seven, isn't there?
There were seven that he came up with. One in O'Dell and six in Liberty Wymore. Is that right? Deborah Galen, is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
Six on the Liberty Wymore blacktop that. Bridges, I think they're bridges that we'd like to replace, aren't they?
Yes.
With culverts.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's one bridge on the O'Dell, PWF O'Dell black top overlay that we'd also like to replace. And Minnelli is trying to categorize them as most needed or whatever and stuff. So if there's money for some of those or not all of those, then we'll have an idea. Yeah, yeah.
Now, are you using all steel tubes, or are you using tile tubes?
Oh, they'll all be galvanized steel tubes like we've been bidding and been replacing with in the past.
Have you looked into the tile, the cost difference?
No, not really. This is usually the most cost-effective way to go in most of these cases, because on these, I've just saw it, on these steel tubes, they build head walls on them. And they're built at the angle that tube goes across, and then they can connect sheet piling to them going either way. So it's kind of a good way to do it, and I think it's the most cost-effective way to do it. I mean, Galen would know more about that than I, but just seeing what I see, it looks like a good way to go with the steel tubes. I think that's the most cost-effective one we've got out there right now.
Well, we went on a township, well, that's, what, 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was, and we looked into it, and we dug up some steel tubes that wasn't very old. We had to dig them up. They'd galvanize. They ain't no good on them. We went to where you got a lot of chemicals coming out of the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And we put in then the tile, and it was just a little bit more than the steel, but we figured the long term it was. So I was wondering, but that's okay.
Well, on the ones we're replacing, I mean, some of these are, you know, fairly large replacement on these culverts diameter wise. So they're not cheap either way you go.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I was looking, I thought there was a barn going up when I went north to Philly and here was a tube. Oh, and then I got now on the pay raises, I guess I'm thinking about here is now, what percentage about is their benefits on top of their pay raises? Does that go by percentage too, or
let's,
what?
Let's have that discussion as part of, that's on the agenda. So we'll have that as a discussion item.
Oh,
as
okay.
Part of the agenda. So you can be part of that conversation when we get there.
Yeah, I just wondering, you know, like pay raises. I guess I'm always sort of the little guy. The big guy, he gets a percentage increase. And he gets a lot more money to start with, and, well, he'll get a lot bigger pay raise. It should be just on the, everybody gets a dollar increase, is my thinking, you know, for fairness, but that ain't the way it works. And I guess mine was mostly on the road deals. I see Gus is here. Is your deputy still out kicking the gravel off of the roads?
No, we're over in that Ruby bill for carts.
All right.
Thanks.
So, will some of those things, yeah, when we come back to on the agenda, if you want to be part of that conversation, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
Let's jump into anybody else from the public. Want to have any comments about anything that's not on the agenda? As things are on the agenda, you want to be part of the discussion. That's great. All right, we'll jump into committee reports. We have a timed event in 3 minutes, but we'll start with building and grounds.
Nothing unusual. We did get the rock over on the new parking lot over by the Veterans Building, and all the trees are down, working with the city relative to that. And obviously, the winter lights are absolutely beautiful, and we've had so many comments on the lights on the big tree. And I want to commend JT and the Winter Lights Committee for all the work they have done. It really, really is done well. And you see that Dave Jones is building the new display case out in the hallway from, and that is well done. But we really, I think everything is going real well. And Dave, I don't think we have anything unusual today, do we?
No.
Okay. We don't want more snow. But again, I'll commend Dave and Rosie for all the wonderful work that they do for this courthouse.
And maybe just comment, too, that periodically the stairs will be closed on the east side relative to snow and ice. And other than that, we try to keep those open. But when it's a safety issue, we'll close that down.
Right.
So. All right, equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance.
Part of what we talked about was the officials setting their salaries, and that we'll have later on here on the agenda. We'll visit about that. I guess that's most of what we talked about. We had, I don't remember anything else that was a lot of what we.
Human resources.
Well, we're still forging ahead on the handbook and trying to get a few other issues taken care of before the end of the year. We're working really hard on it, but that's nothing new.
Any more discussion about contents of the handbook? Anybody get any feedback? Do you want to have any of that discussion?
You want me to have the discussion? Dawn visit with us about the last time we talked about maybe New Year's Eve day or the afternoon, having that as a holiday, and maybe
Christmas
if they
Eve.
Wanted to.
Christmas Eve day.
Christmas Eve, not New Year's. Christmas Eve day. Thank you. Christmas Eve. And if they wanted to trade a holiday or something, that was part of the discussion. And Dawn at the meeting, and I think she must have talked with the elected officials. I'm not sure who they did, but they had a meeting, and they would prefer to leave the holidays as they are and close at noon on December 24th, and then they will take vacation days for that afternoon. They will use their vacation time for that afternoon.
Or go unpaid if they don't.
Or go unpaid. They can go unpaid or use vacation. Yes.
One thing I forgot to throw out, too, is a reminder that we will have the courthouse open on the 19th from 4:30 to 6:30. For people to come in to see all the remodeling and updating on the courtrooms and everything that we've done. And so certainly hope we'll have a good number of people from the area to come in to see what we've done. So want to remind the press of that, the 19th, 4:30 to 6:30.
But then while we're, I mean, so officially we'll have the courthouse closed the afternoon of December 24th then?
Yeah.
So close at noon on the 24th.
Close at noon on the 24th. And we have a board meeting the morning of the 24th.
Okay. Is that, I was going to, We're having it on the Tuesday prior to. We're not having to come in on Christmas Day.
No. Okay. No, you don't need to come in on Christmas Day.
Okay.
And that moves our committee meetings back to Friday the 20th because we need 24-hour notice to set the agenda.
Right. Jump into law enforcement, emergency management.
I'm going to defer to Myron on this one today.
Mark's going to talk here. I guess maybe we better wait if you want your time event because he had some more information about our communication system and what's going to go forward there, and that's going to take a few minutes.
We've got a couple minutes. We'll just interrupt you, Mark.
Okay.
Oh, we got a couple minutes. Yeah, we got a couple minutes.
Good.
As requested, we're still following up with the communication system, and one of the things that I did last week was met with Mike Jeffries with the statewide radio system. He come back with some different ideas. He reviewed, as you know, he's volunteered basically to help us look at our systems no matter what we do, but he has also come back with some more ideas looking at the state radio system, and he encourages us to do some more testing. So he's going to come down and help us with that. I did look into, although I haven't got it, the total picture of what the cost has been and what we've been spending, what we've budgeted and such, but the highway department radio system, we talked about that. Currently, the highway department pays $1,200 a quarter to have their system, to utilize their system. On top of that, then I pay $360. So every quarter we pay $1,560 to the vendor for that radio system. So that's one of the things that we were looking at, possibly finding a tower that would still work and provide the coverage that the highway department needs that wouldn't cost us anything every quarter or every month, or it'd be a free space. And I already have a repeater that we can put into that system, so it would just be the cost of installation, and then we wouldn't have to have that quarterly fee anymore. So, but we would not do that again unless we did more testing. You know, we want to make sure everybody has the proper coverage. So at this point, they're going to do some coverage maps for us on the statewide system and what we proposed or what the vendor had proposed for us to work into the statewide system. And so we're hoping to get that done in the next couple of weeks. With the holidays coming up, it may be a little tight, but next week it looks like we're going to be able to do some testing on that. So,
yes, I believe Lincoln County. You said Lincoln County is the only county currently on the state system.
And the sheriff had spoke to their sheriff or chief deputy, chief deputy yesterday, and the lieutenant on that sheriff's department is actually the one that's responsible for that part of the system. And the sheriff, our sheriff, has provided me with that information, so I'm going to give him a call. And also, we're hoping to meet with possibly, if you run into some of the commissioners at NACO from Lincoln County, if you may just touch base with them if you're at NACO and see what they're, you know, what they put into it. They explained to me what they did with their system and how they pay their state for their state radio system, and the state did anyway. They're part of it, and it's a little interesting how they did that. So, kind of got away from that the monthly rate that normally everybody else would be paying. So, and then John provided an article about that state system there. So we'll be looking into some of that information and see where they're at on all that. So.
For Mark,
I'll make one more comment. I visited with Doug here a little bit this morning on Queeby coming in. Scotts Bluff County out there in the city of Gary, and I think in Tarrytown, there was an article on Queeby this morning. One of them suing the other one because of a new communication system they're putting in, and it was an open-ended thing, and you had to sign it by a certain date and all of this. So now they're suing each other because they don't. So we're not the only ones having issues with communications. They're looking at putting in a new communication system, and yeah.
Doug, I can get you all the way up in Lincoln. Why don't you guys dispatch for the county?
I wish we could have their tower.
Just give us their
tower. Would be great.
Okay.
So, but that's where we're at, and hopefully, I can report back at the next meeting to to get somehow some of the testing's going. If he's agreed to some of the things they talked about, they're possibly moving a statewide radio tower out of Sterling down into Johnson County. If that's something we really need and we can show to him that we need that tower at Sterling, he would be willing to leave that tower there. And so that's one thing he's already agreed. But he really wants to help us do the testing and such, and where he's not a vendor. And like he said, you know, they have a budget for the state radio system, so they're fine. They don't have to bring people on to help pay for it. So he's willing to – he'd rather have people have the communications and the proper communications than to think that we need to look at money. So.
All right.
There, one quick comment, too, so you know, and I talked to Myron a little bit ago. I got an email from the fire chief in Adams this morning that their pagers hasn't worked for 3 weeks. I was not aware of that till this morning. And so at 1 o'clock today, I will be running up there here as soon as I get done with my – have my grant monitor slash audit here as soon as I get done here, and then I'll be taking off and going up to Adams and see what we can get that resolved as soon as possible. But it's been 3 weeks, I guess. He says in the email that it hasn't worked. So.
Yeah. Mark, I would just say that, well, I take this chance to thank you for your work that you do with the communications, because it is pretty excessive in your job duties. And you do a good job of keeping on top of it and trying to make sure that we have the communications. And then to throw on top of it all the research that you're doing at this point, which I think everybody realizes but maybe doesn't always say thanks for that. You're doing a good job of getting into it, and I think you're partway there. It's going to be quite a bit of more research yet, but yeah, appreciate that, and that information is going to be vital to making an important decision here pretty soon.
Okay. We'll keep bringing it forward.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Yep, we got a couple other comments in it from our meeting the other day.
Can I interrupt you?
We'll finish that later. That's no problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
I'll ask Gage County Veteran Service Officer Phil Ditbrenner to present our Veteran of Honor this month.
Morning. It's my pleasure this morning to introduce and have our subject that was selected this month is Levi Dodge. Levi joined the United States Army, or he was inducted in August 22nd of 1942, and he served until November 10th of 1945. Levi was a mechanic while he was in the Army, and he arrived in Europe in February of 1944 and went from Normandy, northern France, Rhineland, the Ardennes, to Central Europe. Levi was in charge of a large supply of vehicles. If you've ever seen any of Levi's pictures or any of his programs, you can see a massive line of vehicles. When you think about World War II and you see all these vehicles lined up across the football fields upon football fields of vehicles, that's what Levi was in charge of, getting all those vehicles ready so the troops could move across Europe. So at this time, I'd like to introduce Levi Dodge.
Thank you all for this. I was in the war for, seemed like forever, but thankful that nothing happened to most of all the boys. A lot of them didn't come home. And feel bad about that at times, but my Army career was, to me, was successful, and nothing much happened that I couldn't handle with the help of my buddies. And I was in the service 4 years, took the whole term, and we was in France and Germany and different places up there, and had a few experiences, that some good experiences also, and some learning experiences. I think it, I can say thankful for our country that my trade that I was in, working on cars, that I went to school there, several of them, to better my education on Army equipment, which is similar to what we have, and it that helped me to in my career. I looked at things in a positive way, and it turned out positive also. I want to thank you then for having me come here this morning. And I guess that's about the extent of it.
I appreciate your efforts for this country and your involvement in the community. I can remember as a younger man taking cars to Levi. I know Dad's shop there north of town. He would always go down and say, we've got to take it to Levi. So
absolutely. We grew up taking our cars to Levi. Absolutely. Well, thank you for all you did.
I appreciate that.
And Levi is kind of famous in a infamous kind of way. He, when he was in Germany, he was it in Germany or in France where you got your camera? You got the German camera.
That was in Germany.
In Germany, he recovered a German camera, took some pictures with it, and didn't get the film developed until he got back to the States. Is that?
Yeah, I carried had it at home, just laying in the drawer, and wasn't. Just a few years ago, I thought, well, why I left them there, took them out, and got them developed, and kind of had the history of.
Yeah, he's got some very, very neat pictures, and actually, some of the photos went to the Smithsonian Institution from one of the concentration camps.
Yeah.
So he's got some photos of the atrocities, and they're in the Smithsonian at this time, so. And Levi's a pretty good guy. Kind of like him.
Thank you very much.
On behalf of the county, I want to present this to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. There's a few things missing. We'll get them to you in there. Okay.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank you again, Levi. Thank you. We also have a certificate of appreciation from the board, and it's at the Veterans Service Office. I talked to Phil. We'll get that to Levi.
Do we not get at least one joke, Levi? You're famous for your jokes. Don't we get at least one joke?
Very good. Thank you very much. I still contend that's the most important thing we do every month. Yeah. Make agenda. That's always the most important.
Today.
All right. We are seconds away from another timed event here. So we'll just kind of sit here and look at Supervisor Juergens.
I won't do that too long.
How many did we get here?
Ridiculous. I knew you guys noticed it and didn't say a word.
Our heads are barely staying together.
9:15 on the clock. Our next timed event is I need a motion to close all bids related to the 2-mile asphalt concrete road segment, which would be South 66 Road. Just need a motion to close it.
Motion to close accepting bids for our 2-mile South 66 asphalt.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote 7-0.
I'll hand them that way. And we will open those.
You want the bond open too?
No.
Just a reminder on these, this could be bid either way, either concrete or asphalt. So I'll try to okay, this is a bid for Warner Construction Incorporated. The first bid is for asphalt. The total is $778,933.82. The second bid is for concrete. The total for the concrete alternative is $910,477.07. This is a bid from Constructors Incorporated. The first one is a bid for asphalt. The total for that is $846,658.66. The total for concrete, $1,023,216.56. This is a bid from R.L. Thiemann Construction. No bid on the asphalt part of it. On the concrete alternative, $1,240,335.03. This is a bid from Pavers Incorporated on the asphalt, $792,648.16. No bid on the concrete.
Is that the last bid?
This is the last bid. From Walton Construction Incorporated. No bid on the asphalt. The concrete, $1,222,675.82.
What would you like to do with the bids, Mr. Chairman?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would like to refer these to the Highway Department. And because there are two different alternatives here, two different concrete or asphalt to go, I would like to have the Jeff and Galen review these, but take no action today because there is a difference here in types of materials, and refer till the next meeting and make our acceptance then on the award the bid then in 2 weeks.
So your motion is to not accept or reject any bids today, whether it's to push that to the next meeting?
I believe that would be best.
That's your motion?
So we can review. That's my motion, yes.
Moved by Juergens to move awarding bids to the next meeting in 2 weeks.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Galen or Jeff go?
Acro.
Guys, give me a nod. Are you good with that? Or is that,
fine.
Is that,
yeah,
is that
that's probably a good choice. Yeah.
Then, okay.
Evaluate and then give you a recommendation.
Okay. Okay. All right. Have motion and a second to come back in 2 weeks and award. That'll be a good Christmas present for somebody.
I just mentioned that is on the 24th.
And that is on the 24th, at Christmas Eve, and on the 24th, the morning of it. Vote 7-0. We're open those in two, or we will. We already opened them. We'll approve them in 2 weeks. All right. Give a second for. Jim Spangler, quarterly report.
Do we want to finish the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to do that at least once, right? This is the last time I get to do that, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
See, we're trying to delay you getting out of here, so that, you know, just take it easy.
I'm sorry. Yes, Myron, I interrupted you earlier. Go ahead.
Law enforcement, yes. Gus has received a copy of a contract with Saline County for housing prisoners and forwarded that on to Roger here, and we're looking at that. I have some thoughts or questions on that and how some things will be handled there. Very similar to the one I think Jefferson County probably received from them or whatever. As of November 29th, the budget, sheriff's office budget's at 40% and the jail's at 43%, so they're right in line with where they need to be. So, road deputy position was filled last week. New transport correction officer position filled last week and is in the formal process of hiring the new courthouse special service corporal. So that was the rest of the, and the rest of the meeting we had, Mark basically talked about with the state, the communications, so.
So this agreement's basically identical. I mean, it's, it was Saline, I'm talking about the holding of prisoners. Is that, so I maybe have a little more.
I believe Sheriff Moore told me as of this week they'll have an agreement there with Jefferson County. There's a couple things on there I'm going to talk to Roger about that I would like to make an amendment to that. And my concern was because he contracts with feds. And, of course, he's making a lot more money off feds than he will counties. My question to him was, I posed, all of a sudden you get an influx of federal prisoners, I'm out the door. And he said, well, pretty much that's right. I'd like to have something in there that we're going to have a 24 to 48-hour window. When I get that call, then I can go elsewhere. And hopefully, as Gary said, we'll have a contract or two somewhere else as well that we can go to, because I don't want to be held hostage for our $50 a day, but it's okay now, but in 2 months it's not good enough because I get 85 from the Fed. So that's something that I brought up. I don't know if they're going to change that for Jefferson County, but I certainly want that in the contract here if we sign it. So.
Yeah, because we were over there that time. There was the one entire dorm where the lights were shut off. Looks like it could have housed everybody we had there. But that inherently is a problem of using them solely and closing the doors on this thing, is because the minute they get the influx, then we've got to do something else with those folks. So, yeah, they could have. That entire dorm was locked or lights were shut off. There's nobody in there. So.
Well, and since you've breached that topic, Matt, I guess the other thing that we got to keep in mind is we've all discussed this going forward is that, you know, as the state talks about maybe an influx of prisoners not going to the prison and maybe being pushed back onto the local communities, you know, it's not a deal where we can close down our facility and move over there, because there might be an influx of prisoners coming back to them to where they'll have less room, and we're going to have an influx also possibly. I mean, it's not a guaranteed thing, but there is that possibility that the state's going to push more back our way. So
that is being talked about, I understand now, of having 2-year terms at the county jail instead of one. Plus, I started holding a juvenile over here, which I've never, ever done. We've hardly ever done that in years past, but It met the criteria of being over 16, the felon on the filed on adult docket. And at Tuck County Attorney's Office, before we had this gentleman, it was a $33,000 bill I had. So we've kept him here to avoid that expenditure. But like Gary says, we're always going to have something across the street. It just ends up what we're going to end up doing, you know, down the road. But it's going to have to be something that's going to have to be there.
You hear stories in the paper about folks who are let off on good time laws. And, I mean, you got to have places to put these folks. It's...
All right. Thanks, Gus.
Oh, Road and Bridge.
Okay. Well, a good portion of it discussion was what we took bids on today, and we'll have further work to do on that before the next meeting. So we'll look that over and come up with a recommendation on that. Trees at Odell Highway. This has been a problem or an issue for a while. They have been taken care of, and if anybody drives that road now, there'll be a remarkable difference, you know, in that area, probably 2 mile stretch where they've been cleaned back, and looks nice. So I think everybody driving by there will maybe say that does look good. Maybe it'll prompt some more cleaning up along the edges of trees.
That was on the Odell Blacktop coming north out of Odell, about how many miles north?
Oh, just a mile north, just about from the cemetery on north, right through there, about a mile and a half stretch. So, big improvement. Also, we've got this culvert list here. We talked about that today, of some replacement culverts. Galen has them prioritized as far as the you know, the first and the last that should get done. So we'll see. These are being sized now as well as through the Minnelli and Wagner office, and we'll get a cost estimate hopefully on that. And they are, like I say, they're rated from 1 to, you know, 5 or 6 as far as priority, where we should start. Basically, that's about it. Any other... Mm-hmm. Other than just the normal complaints.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's the thing. You check your mailboxes. There's a landowner up north of town. I think there's a registered letter that went to Roger as well as Galen, if you haven't got it yet. So pretty extensive complaint on a road, and I think Galen's, where'd he go?
They're reviewing the bid.
They thought they were done.
No. So they're aware of it, and there's been discussion in Road and Bridge, so just know that that's there. And there's some claims and requests for funds, so just look at them. Glenn Hart, we're talking Road and Bridge. What else would you like to converse about?
Well, it sounds like you guys is getting up the line. I just kind of had the question. You know, there's a lot of stuff that needed replacing before, and so I was kind of wondering, you know, how far... If $1 million more would do all of the, you know, about all of the culverts needed, don't they, on the roads?
All the major ones are the bridges are the bigger issue. On the Liberty Road, there's quite a few narrow bridges we'd like to take out and put bigger culverts in. But these are sizable culverts we're putting in there, so it's going to be a sizable amount. You know, if there's any money left, if that's it'd be a good place to use it, yeah.
Now, like the bridges, I mean, since the NRD and all the dams have come in, does that give you a plus that you're able to put in the culverts?
It might restrict the flow, but they still have to go, I know, by the area of drainage. And I don't know if they recognize if there's a pond on that area or not. That's a good question. I mean, I know it'll help, but overall, if you get bad, and that pond runs over, that water's coming down too. So in many of these areas, there's places where the water, if you get a hard rain, will go over the road. So in them those cases, we're trying to size those culverts bigger and try to stop that. So
yeah, that's about all I had. I was kind of wondering about the tile, since we done that quite a few years ago, and we dug one up and we couldn't believe it. I mean, that little bit of stuff they put on it. We dug up some culverts that was 10 years older, probably, at least, maybe longer than that. And they was fine. And them new ones, they was already in the process. Mm. So then we went the other route, you know.
Well, that's something we'll check into, but I think on the size of culverts we're talking about, it's probably not a...
Yeah, you won't be able to do that.
No,
need your wings.
Yep.
Okey-doke, that's about all I have.
Economic development.
Yeah, economic development. We had a meeting last week and did hire Smart Solutions to go ahead and start advertising for a new executive director, and they will be taking applications until January the 6th. And hopefully the next week, this is the thought process, I guess, going forward, that the week after that, then they can start getting a better idea if and which ones they would like to interview, and as quick as we can start the interview process and hopefully get a new person hired. So we did also have another meeting with, I can't remember her name now, lady from Black Hills Energy, and Keith Ellis from Nebraska Public Power. We had a meeting with them the one morning, and they wanted to reiterate that they are here to help us through this process. Both of these people, that's what they do for their companies, is economic development. And they had some other comments, which I thought were really helpful, about how important it is to work with and make sure you have good contacts with the state economic development, because according to, her first name was Laura, but I can't remember her last name. Maybe it wasn't even Laura. A lot of the first contacts that actually come into the state, it come into Nebraska. They don't come to, say, the city of Beatrice or Gage County. They come to the state of Nebraska. And that's the same way with a lot of the states is for economic development, and how important it is to have a relationship with those people so that when something does come in, they're able to have the people here as a contact and get a hold of and stuff. So add some interesting comments and some helpful insight. So
that relationship with State Department of Economic Development and the power companies is vital. It's all economic development, and we've had some issues with those relationships, and Engage now is rebuilding good relationships. I want to thank you, Myron.
Trying to, yes.
I hear positive things.
Anything else? All right, let's move on. Jim, tourism, quarterly report.
Thank you, sir.
What's that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to remember. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Jim.
You can run those people out of there.
Thank you.
My mom's was looking at me, but she wasn't.
Your top sheet there on your packet shows the lodging tax. We've had 3 months reported for this fiscal year. We're really right on course for what it was last fiscal year at this time. July and September were up some. August was down some. So we're just about even lodging tax-wise. The next sheet shows the Visitors Improvement Fund. The balance as of November the 27th was $102,431.68. The only outstanding was Rice Lodge and Conference Center, $20,000. They have turned in invoices. We should be getting that check any time now if we haven't already. And we'll be, so that will, in effect, then make the Visitors Improvement Fund balance about $82,000. No other outstandings.
Jim, do you have any that are coming in? I mean, any applications or grants?
Nothing outstanding right now, no.
It's been pretty thin lately.
It has been, yes. So, and I think that maybe comes just with the winter season and that. So, next couple of pages is the budget.
looks a little different to you. Just as a reminder, the lodging tax is always in arrears a couple of months, but it is a very tight budget. The Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce does help us out to make our budget meet. That in past, the past format didn't always necessarily show that. So, we've tried to break things down a little more and show, the costs and how the chamber's helping tourism out in that respect. The last page, we can skip the next one, go to the last one, just my quarterly activities. I just put the highlights on there, just a couple I'll touch on. We have had about 3 bus tours this quarter that came to town. I have acted as a step-on guide for those, getting them from place to place, interacting with the passengers, and just making sure they get good customer service along the way. The Byway 136 put on a Trail of Treasures the first weekend of October. That's very successful, brings in a lot of people from out of the area, and that's something that they will continue. And then did attend Nebraska Travel Conference up in Norfolk. It's a good way to meet and visit with your peers. And then gave a welcome to the Nebraska Governor's Pheasant Hunt. That was successful this year. Rick Claybaugh does a good job of putting that on, and there again brings in a lot of people from out of state as well. Mark Mainz did a great job of organizing a Nebraska Volunteer Firefighter Convention. That filled up our hotels that weekend, and he does a nice job on that, and I was glad to be able to help out in a small way with that. So that is my report. I stand before you with a little bit of mixed emotions. I have enjoyed my job here. I'm tendered my resignation as of December the 20th. I'm going to pursue opportunities probably in the Lincoln area, or most definitely the Lincoln area, and just have enjoyed working with each and every one of you. You're all a class act and are doing what you feel's the best for the taxpayers and people of this county. And just know that even if I'll be afar, I'll be rooting for Gage County and the best. And Laura Young, the executive director of the chamber, and Angie Bruna are here. I know a few of you may have questions about moving forward and how we're going to do that. So they're here to answer any questions with that regard. So with that, thank you.
Jim, I just want to thank you for your service as tourism director and really your commitment to the community, your service on the school board, and you've just been a figure of Beatrice and Gage County. And I thank you for your service, and you've done a wonderful job, and the community will lose something as you're leaving. So
I appreciate that, Matt. Thank you.
Yeah, Jim. I'd also like to add that as far as this job solely goes, you put a lot of emotion into it, and we're always there with a smiling face greeting people. And I remember just this last summer when I talked to you about the baseball team bringing a tournament into town, and they were needing help, I think, running concessions, or I think was it, and your answer was, as well, if I can't find anybody else to do it, I'll do it all by myself. So I think kind of epitomizes how Jim took a hold of this tourism job, and the next person that does it's going to have a hard time measuring up, because you really were right there for Gage County whenever we needed you. So
he's done a great job, and he learned on concessions that you can have a hot dog. And
exactly. That's why I ended up working the concession stand, so I could get a free hot dog.
The truth comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you also, Jim, for all that you've done.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. As Jim has tendered his resignation, it has kind of forced me to look at things a little bit differently within the office of the chamber. We had our annual work planning yesterday. We finished up about 6 o'clock last night, so I'm kind of fresh off of all that. Moving forward, in looking at the staffing, Angie Bruna, who I brought with me today also, will be moving forward into the position as the director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Angie has a degree in marketing, so she brings a lot of experience in marketing. She brings a lot of experience living in Gage County. She's also a resident of Waddell. Her and her family live there, so she's very familiar with the area. She's assisted Jim on some of the events in the past, and it really makes sense moving forward to fill that with somebody who is very familiar, who can step in so there won't be a lax. And as, since I have the responsibility, since we have the contract, that is the decision that has been made pretty much strictly by myself. So.
And for the record, could you identify yourself?
Please? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Laura Young. I'm the executive director of the Chamber, Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce. So we're looking forward to doing some, maybe some new and different things. We have some new and different ideas going forward. But you'll see Angie here on a quarterly basis and on a yearly basis. One of the things that I will share with you that's a little bit different, as I came in with the chamber, and I guess Myron asked me to share this as well. In the past, all of the monies were pooled together into one checking account. That has been changed. So the money, the visitors fund now has their own account. They do reimburse the chamber for expenses, but we've done some splitting of that account. I re-looked at the budgets. I've redone the budget so that they're realistic based on the amount of lodging tax we actually do collect. The chamber does subsidize the Convention and Visitors Bureau by about $10,000 a year. And to make that a full-time position and to keep them housed where we're housed now, with a few more expenses there. So it is a working partnership. We do have things a little bit separated, which I felt they needed to be coming in with my experience in tourism and how that money is going. So, you know, anybody's willing to come to my office, I'll show you all the detail if you want. I just felt it made a lot more sense.
When you do have get-togethers, when you bring different groups, city council, county board, everyone that you, the school board and whatever like you had last week,
mm-hmm.
please include the county board also.
I'd be happy to do that.
We would like to do that. I noticed we weren't invited. My wife as a school board member had an invitation, and I as a county board member did not.
Right.
I don't think they're giving you as much financing as we are. And so you might
include
us.
This is true. And to step back, that is a result of the Action Council. That is not necessarily, they did not want it to be a chamber committee. So it's a group of people that are getting together to kind of look at things. Matt was included in that on soon. And if you can, if somebody here, because Matt is not able to come, if somebody here would like to be part of that group, we meet on Fridays at noon, I would love to have a representative.
No, this was a general thing, an invitation.
Yes, but it came from
the Action Committee.
No, it came from the Action Committee. That invitation and that desire to get everybody together came from that group. Just as the chamber, we were the catalyst to send it out. But it came from that action group is where it came from.
Okay.
So, but I know this wasn't on the agenda, but we would, because we had invited Matt to be part of that at the very, very beginning.
That was the thing about a month ago, I said I if you could be a part of that because I couldn't make it. That was. So we'll get you his email address.
I have his email address. I will invite you Friday noon at Mary's.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you. Any other questions for me?
Visited with Lori after our committee meeting Monday. Just call her because we had some questions at our committee meeting, our finance committee meeting. That was one other thing I guess we did talk about because it was a current topic. We've seen it in the paper and on the radio that Jim was leaving, and then and that's why I think everybody has maybe a copy of the visitors, or at least I do, not the visitors, the tourism agreement with the, we just renewed that here in June of 2013.
Correct.
And everything. And because of just the fact that there is change going on, that's we did visit about this at Finance Committee and had questions, and Denny and everybody had some questions. And then I called you and visited about that, and we had a conversation, and she was nice enough to come to the meeting today, too. Since Jim was giving his report, she came along and able to answer some questions. So.
Yep. Anytime. We're more than happy so to be here.
Thank you for all you do. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove addendum to the 2013-14 Southeast Nebraska or Southeast Adult Drug Court Interlocal Agreement.
This is action secondary to the presentation we had 2 weeks ago. And this will add, it's not Thayer, it adds...
Yeah, it is Thayer.
Is it Thayer? Okay, it adds Thayer to the drug court agreement. So no additional increase cost to us. The only thing that I had discussion concern about was
the winter months.
Rick's time. If it adds more people, that's something that we really don't, I don't think we get credit for.
Yeah, and
that'd be the only thing.
And again, that's something, you know, we talked about in the past few years. I made a contact. I would indicate to the board, you know, we're going to have a mid-year meeting and talk over some things, because a lot of stuff, and again, I preface everything with it's a terrific program and I'm in full support of it. The initial committee that I was a part of, we made some decisions, made some structure. It has changed over the years, and I think it'd be good for the county attorneys to be able to sit down and talk about it again, see if we need to tweak some things. Having an extra party here is absolutely no problem at all. They have the capacity to deal with it. They're going to kick in $1,000, which is basically what each county that is a participant kicks in, and they base it on the participants. I think it's January 1st to the as an earmark, and we run somewhere between 78% and 80% of the total participants in the program. So it's not going to hurt us, but I would certainly echo what you're saying. I mean, Rick does a terrific job with the drug court program, as does the public defender that's from Slane County, Brad Colcorf. So, again, some of these things we need to look at, but overall I would certainly encourage the board to accept the addendum, which is does nothing more than add their county.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion? Vote? 7-0 to approve. Gus and Tony Shepherdson to present the quarterly reports to the Sheriff's Department and Jail. And I just want to say I appreciate the 18 font. I might put those things down. I can see this now. Nothing's moving either. It's all there.
All right. I went back and got the first and second quarter medical. That took a little bit, but I got that taken care of. Third quarter, under bookings, we had 194 bookings. Or correction, we had 194 males, 57 females. 115 of those were felonies. 227 were misdemeanors. 92 were other. Sheriff's Office bookings, 155. Beatrice Police Department was 73. Wymore Police Department was 3. State Patrol was 4. Other agencies, 16. Alcohol-related arrests, 31. And our average daily population was 25. Income from outside prisoner holding, 130. Income from fingerprints, $522.50. Income from inmate phone usage was $1,470.10. Commissary income, $5,743.35. And spent on outside prisoner holdings was $20,228.18. Under medical, general care was $3,193.53. Emergency medical was $2,195.59. Vision, $145. And dental, $527. Overall, the medical did come down some from the second quarter.
I have a question. How do you make money on fingerprints?
We charge $10 to fingerprint. We fingerprint people that need, the general public comes in and needs to be fingerprinted for a job, and we charge them for the fingerprinting.
I didn't know you did that. Okay.
And we are much cheaper than the state, just for record.
Yeah. We get a lot of people from Lincoln that come down and fingerprint because they don't want to pay that.
Is the chamber like advertising that for us?
We should. Good point.
How much more expensive are they? Can we raise ours and still be less?
We'll look at that.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
Senator Chambers has discussed the phone inmate overcharge. How would that affect? Is that an issue at all?
It's going to affect. We utilize InCartel right now, and I actually asked them that yesterday, and they said that they're working on that, but we're probably going to lose some money from our portion of the cards being sold. So,
is law enforcement just assuming he's going to get the bill passed?
We're going to take it both ways.
Okay. We're trying to figure
some other things to make up for that. Loss.
According to him, he'd rather have each of them. We'd issue him a cell phone.
My understanding, the FCC is regulating that.
Yeah, they're regulating that, and I know the Sheriff's Association. I think they're push across country for that, and I think National Sheriff's is fighting that as well because it's going to be a devastating blow to county corrections.
So we're trying to talk to them about web-based phone calling. So then the FCC wouldn't be able to doesn't regulate that. We're trying to put a cap on how much you can actually charge for a phone card. For inmate, what they're doing.
Do you have to offer phone cards? I mean, pardon the ignorance here. I thought you got one phone call. You're being somewhat coy, but
well,
you do.
The reason a lot of jails, pretty much all of them, gone to the phone cards generates money for the facility. You aren't bringing people in and out of the cells like you used to go in the book room and call. Over the years, we put a phone in all the cell block areas at the cost of the phone company that we utilize here. And then they provide those items for us at a cost, and we mark it up.
Yeah, we actually get the cards in. We don't pay for the cards.
Yeah.
NCartel sends us the cards, and we offer the inmates the chance to buy one. We're not buying the cards. NCartel's providing them, and then we get a percentage of what's purchased.
Well, if this becomes too cumbersome just too cumbersome, does it just go away? And you don't offer that phone call? I mean, what's...
We're going to have the sheriff get together with jail standards and see kind of where the dust settles, because it's going to make a difference.
I mean, is there a standard out there that says you get 4 phone calls, each one 17 minutes long? I mean, what...
No.
So this is a benefit, but it's not regulated that they get to make 20 phone calls a day?
We make sure they get the phone call as they need. In the old days, before we had the phone system way it is, you had to talk to a pastor if you had to call him or emergency medical calls, whatever your lawyers, that was always available to them. It was labor intensive for staff.
Yeah,
it's helped a bunch.
Yeah, because if we don't have the phone cards and they need to contact their attorney, we have to pull them out and let them use the phone in the hallway. So then we're tying up staff that could be doing other things as well.
I'm just not well versed in how you make a phone call in the lockup. So,
good for you.
Yeah,
just do something for me, please, and we'll find out how that works. Yeah.
I don't want to find out. I'm okay.
Touch base with him on the part I forgot to mention on the probation versus parole.
Oh, I talked to probation, or they actually came to me and said that our population could increase because parole is starting to push their parolees onto probation, and then if they violate probation, they'll do short terms in the county jail, so 5, 6, 7 days. That's my understanding from her, from Amanda. So we could be looking at some short-term higher populations if they violate.
So this is the hub, if you will, where probation comes from several counties to come here. If somebody else's, some other resident, different county is... violates their parole, do we have to hold them then? At some point, you got to sit them here, and then they got to come pick them up. And
it's got to go to their account where they violated. That's the courthouse.
If it's Pawnee County, they'll go back to Pawnee County. Or...
I haven't got a real thorough detail yet. I want to go talk to her more. It was just a brief conversation when she stopped at the office. So,
and this is different than the juvenile issue that's still coming up that's being pushed. It said 651. What is the LBC?
561.
561.
Yeah. Got it. Again, Lincoln doesn't know what they're doing yet, and I'm not being critical. It's one of those things. They passed a bill before they really had the logistics all figured out, and everybody's trying to...
It never happens, does it?
It happens on every level, except the county.
Well, I guess I guess the point is we've got some outside influences that are going to change the way we operate with regard to law enforcement, and so we just need to be but we know something's coming.
Yeah,
I don't know who said it, but the whole gist of everything is that it's being pushed back onto the county.
From the state? Yep. I mean, the state is basically, this is one way they're going to handle their...
There has been a lot of talk of the state pushing inmates back onto the county. So I haven't got a lot of details on that yet, but this is one form of them starting to do that.
I'd also heard that they thought that if the judges could sentence them two people out of each county to a certain sentence here versus stateside, it would lower the population for them there. Now, it's going to make a difference for us. You know, but there's a lot of talk out there, but who knows where it's going to go.
I presume your insurance, your Sheriff's Association and NACO should be very involved in this also, that we have people who are on top of it, lobbying the legislature.
I know Sheriff's Office. Now, NACO, you know, that I can't speak for them. I'm sure we've got people sitting on that committee, and I'm sure they're talking about that.
Certainly is something that should be mentioned. You guys that are going to the NACO meeting, we should be on top of this, that NACO is very involved. This could be a huge thing.
Very much.
Yes, sir, Tony, question for you. As far as, I guess, just thinking here, I don't know why I haven't asked you before, but what is cost per person to incarcerate somebody, like in a county jail as opposed to a state prison? Do you have any idea on that, or could you get that for us? Because I guess my thinking is rather than pushing these back on the county and putting them in these facilities that aren't maybe prepared to have the higher numbers, you know, maybe we should be discussing with the state the idea of building another prison. I mean, I realize nobody wants to do that, but if it's cheaper cost per prisoner to do that, why would the state want to push it back?
And I know D&E charges us, I believe it's $89 a day. So I'm going to take it that's kind of what it costs them to house one, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I wonder, is there any way that you could actually get the... Is there some way we could find out that actual cost?
He has some contacts. He worked over at Fort Hill.
Yeah.
You get that.
Yeah. I'd be interested.
Yeah.
And every county is going to be a little different.
Sure.
Depending on the budget and your population.
Well, and depending on the facility you got also.
Yeah. Absolutely makes a difference. So.
Okay. There's that many more criminals.
What?
There's that many more criminals than there used to be.
A lot more violent ones, I can tell you that. We, years back, used to have check writers, drunk drivers, a few basic assaults. Now you have strangulation. We have a lot of sex offenders. If you read the paper, a lot of that on the juveniles. Yeah. Domestics, it's very violent people we have anymore compared to years ago.
Drugs are in there.
Absolutely.
Drugs drive everything. Every arrest you see, it is amphetamine. It's possession of paraphernalia.
Yeah. 90%
of people have come because of alcohol and drug related. I don't see one thing that the news media reports that doesn't, in any arrest of any sort, that there isn't some drug paraphernalia associated.
Pretty much tied into it. Okay, we'll go into third quarter for the sheriff's office. I know calls for service was 1,673 compared to 1,845 last in the second quarter. We had 66 actions compared to 79. We had 66 citations compared to 55. Had 147 warnings given versus 428. We had 99 arrests compared to 124. We had 239 papers served, 275 in the second quarter. 72 arrest warrants were served compared to 81. Fees collected was 2,322.05 compared to 2,250.17. Mileage fees earned was 4,250.27 compared to 2,306.39. We got $11 in copies. That's gone down quite a bit because we've gone down on our price. $20 second quarter. Nothing on either quarter, last or this one, for disworth warrant collections or partial pays for collections. We collected $3,220 compared to $2,790 for title inspection fees. We had $62,196 compared to $61,942 for the mileage driven by patrol units. $4,422 compared to $2,424 for miles driven for transports. We had $704.47 for monies reimbursed through grants compared to $150 last quarter. We had no meth labs, either one to report. Drug violations, we had, again, four. Reserve mileage was $1,393 compared to $607. The hours they gave us was 131 compared to 33. Billing checks, we had 428 compared to 786. And a number of open doors found was 7 compared to 10. Now, I tell you, there's something in the works right now where the reserve program, from what I understand, it looks like in a few years it's going to be required to just be regular basic certification like we have to take. So I don't know if that'll make a difference. A lot of programs might go on the wayside because nobody in the reserve is going to take 4 months off to go to academy. So that's just something to keep in mind. They do give us a little, and it certainly helps us when they do, but it might be a day and time where there won't be any more across the state. I don't know. They're looking at it now, and if that comes to pass, that's a lot to ask somebody. Just comes in and helps out once in a while. So
we've had this discussion in committee meetings, Gus. I guess for the public's knowledge, what's the justification for this, or why? Excuse me. Why is there a push to create this higher certification, which is more or less going to eliminate the reserves?
Well, I got to tell you, Gary, I think what it was is I think probably they got overused and abused in various counties. They in Nebraska, it's not a very well written law. They have a mandatory cap of 100 hours. Well, 100 hours is nothing. I was trying to work through the process to see if we couldn't get up to like the surrounding states where it has to be, you have to work 500 or 1,000 hours a year to keep the certification of reserve. But I think because of the abuse, probably they're cracking down on it. Reserves have to be with a full-timer or under their control through radio or via cell phone, something to activate them to utilize and have the same power of arrest as we do. So I'm thinking, from what I'm hearing, that probably a lot of it was just driven by maybe some abuses or overextending when it should have been. And I know I had a pretty good program because NIRMA took my manual and that I had for procedures for him and gave it to the academy director. And he thought it was one of the better ones he's seen. And so NIRMA's used that lots of times to give to their agencies who are trying to start a program. But I don't know where it's going to go. I know the ones that are actively doing it now are grandfathered. But it's like anything else. It's tougher and tougher to get. I think we have three right now that's active. And we've been going through the hiring process because it's the exact same process we do with full-timers. It's just getting more difficult to find them. But the ones you do get are there to help. You know, it does make a difference. So they have for years done the county fair. We're there to supplement them, but they're constantly, and they've always contracted with the fair to be there and kind of help out. So it is kind of sad to see it happen. Ours have been in existence 1987, and hope it'll stay there for a while, but it's like everything else, things are changing. So okay. Thank you.
I need to go back. I need a motion to place actually Jim Spangler's tourism quarterly report on file as well as this quarterly report on file.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
You beat me to it.
Is that what you're going
to
do? Moved by Lytle to place on file.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Vote. Next is the acknowledgement and to place on file the request for public documents records from the Beatrice Daily Sun / Chris Dunker received December 5th, 2013 for information relating to Engage income and expenditures from January 1 of 2013 through December 5th of 2013. Request in the form of a hand, let's see, request was received in the form of a hand-delivered letter. So Chris made the request on behalf of his employer. And I have a letter here. Did you get that? There's a fax sent on the 9th. Okay. And there's still that. I know the conversation we had last time about not getting notification. I did follow up the county attorney's office, and there was a letter sent October 16th to legal counsel regarding the request made for the information from Coke Nitrogen, and the amount on that is $224.49. So it wasn't to you directly. It was to legal counsel.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk to Roger about that after the meeting.
All right, so I just need a motion just to place that on, just the request on file as part of correspondence. But so I believe all that information is that we had is made available.
Absolutely, yeah. When I faxed that letter over, I received that from Don and brought it up. I reviewed it and sent a fax out immediately.
So I've had conversation.
Available for pickup on Monday, I believe.
I had a conversation with Andrea Schaefer, the president of the Engage board, told him about the request. And so, Myron, if you have anything to add.
Nope. Okay. So moved.
Moved by Byers, just to place on file.
Second.
Seconded by Dolan. Vote. 7-0. Okay. Discussion on setting salaries of elected offices of the county for a 4-year term beginning in 2015.
for committee meeting, finance committee meeting there Monday, Don came up and visited with us, and originally on the agenda was that we were going to approve or disapprove this, and last time I even made a comment about that we would probably could have a resolution ready and forward. And last time we talked about the three different proposals, 1, 2, and 3, and that, you know, the committee, and they still do recommend the second proposal there to give the 3.65% increase to some of them. But since then, the committee meeting the other day, Dawn come up and visited with us, and she's trying to get numbers together. We direct her to do it. The election commissioner person for Gage County, which is currently Dawn, we don't have anywhere in this proposal for any amount for that position or whatever. And that, if you notice, on the sheet she sent out or gave us originally comparing all these, there's a couple counties that they have a set salary for it, and now she is getting together the information for us for several of the counties included in their clerk's base salary. Some of them aren't. She gave me a sheet already here where so far out of the 12 counties we're comparing to or whatever, that five of them she has found that they have something in their resolutions or whatever so that that person gets paid. So we as a committee redirected Dawn to go back and find us that information. We didn't have enough information, we felt, to make a recommendation on including or not including something for the election commissioner in here. And so that's why we delayed this 2 weeks. My intention is, and hopefully that on the 24th we can vote, because otherwise if we don't, we're delaying it till our January 8th meeting, and we have to have these set by the middle of January. So go ahead, Denny, Nan, or whatever.
No, I think you've explained it very clearly. Don feels, and as we're looking at averages, and as we look at our comparison as far as counties and looking at what average salaries are, we don't know how many of the other counties that we compared to include an additional salary for election and those that don't. And we felt that we needed that information to make sure we kept Don in a comparison, in comparable figures. We didn't want to treat her better, didn't want to treat her less than other counties. And that is, with the bonded elections and the things that we do, the election commissioner and the additional time and effort that they put in addition to their regular duties, is significant. So we felt that we needed to have that information, though, before we made any recommendations to this body.
And I will say this, in the resolution that we currently have here, too, there are two different places in here where we do, in this resolution, I've got to find the right page here, be it further resolved that the elected official is qualified to serve as a levy-making authority and is designated by such as the County Board of Supervisors shall receive $644.55 per year. And there's another one up here where the compensation shall apply to the budget-making and levy-making designate of Gage County. Any elected official who is qualified to serve in the budget-making authority and is designated as such shall receive $2,578. And I wasn't even aware that these were in there. So we do have a couple other spots in here where we are currently allocating additional funds to that position because of the extra duties that they are, that they have or whatever. So that is in our current resolution, which is currently in effect today. So, I mean, it's, we had quite a bit of discussion on it then after Don brought this up, and we felt that to make a recommendation to the board today wouldn't be right, because we need to compare it to everybody else and make sure that we are in a range or whatever.
Anybody had any feedback from the public or elected officials?
I would just encourage somebody to talk to the public officials. And again, that some of them have called me. And again, I mean, you go through your process and everything, but they are elected officials also. And I would encourage, you know, somebody to do that from your committee, just to get their feedback too.
I know it's a public meeting, and it's on the agenda, and there's nobody
Well, and again,
discussion. That's why I was curious. Is no one?
Beans, I'll be the one to get beat up on this thing anyhow. You know, it's kind of a situation where you come into a public forum to discuss with other public elected officials about what your salary or potentially your salary is going to be for the next 4 years. And some people are very uncomfortable with that. And I'm not saying it's required or anything. I'm just suggesting, I think we've got a very good relationship up here in the courthouse and with county government that hasn't always existed in the recent past. And I just throw that out to you. You know, we could bring them all in here. I mean, well, a lot of them are gone, too, or right now are in conferences and training and stuff. So,
can I add something, Matt? I think.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I sat in on one meeting. I thought Roger might have been at that one. And I know the main concern, and I'm not going to go on the wage side of it, that they had to read about what proposals were in the paper before they were talked to about it here. And I know that was a heartburn for a lot of them. I guess in my work, I'm just letting things roll off anymore, but I know that was a little bit of a heartburn for a majority. Were you at that meeting, Roger?
No,
I can't remember if you were.
That was some of it.
Yeah, so that's all I kind of know from my side. But
what meeting was that?
We got together.
We got together for the handbook thing.
Yes, we're doing the handbook, and it was
there's an elected officials meeting that takes place that we never get invited to.
Which one's that?
The elected officials meeting. This elected officials meeting.
What the elected officials meeting has been is the handbook.
Yeah, the handbook.
For the
we don't get together.
It's a year and a half. I mean, it's been. And this just happened to come up because they saw it in the paper.
I've never known when there was a meeting on the handbook.
Yeah. So.
Well, Don coordinates that stuff.
It's not a public meeting. But it's one of those things that'd be nice to, you know, the door's a two-way street. And I know, or it goes both ways, but I know 4 years ago when we did this, I had a lot of people call me, a lot of communication. This year, zip. So the door's open. I think, like you said, we've got a good relationship. I don't know why anyone would be afraid to call and have a conversation.
I don't know.
It's open. If you don't want to come to a public meeting, call us. It's all right.
I'm here.
I would encourage it. You're right.
Okay, so.
You're just here to keep Linhart in line. So.
Oh, that's a lost cause. Don't even go there.
But no, you have a gun on. We're not going to talk back to you today.
Well, but that's good info.
No, I know. Yeah.
But I will pass that on because, honestly, like Rug, I don't think we've had a meeting with officials other than that handbook for ages.
That's huge.
So,
that's huge.
Yeah, otherwise, I would certainly press to have somebody from the committee for the board to be at one of those meetings if we ever had one.
Well, that's probably an oversight on our part, too.
Yeah.
Because we knew it was coming down. But, you know, here we are January 14th. That has to be turned into the state. So
we do it every 4 years, and most of them have been here more than 8 years.
Well,
so
I'll tell you like I told them. I said, my work has never been about money. You don't get law enforcement to get rich. All I asked, and like I told officials, and I kind of thought they were going to draft something to you since we talked that time, maybe not. But treat us the same, well, at least treat me the same way as you do employees. You have your array of counties, which I think Nichols done. It's the same array we use for them. You have your low, your high, and you take your medium. I think that's as fair for us as it would be for the employees, and I think that's...
That's what we've done.
Yeah.
That's what
so,
we've been doing.
Okay, I thought that's...
Is it something that our committee should get together with the... elect officials?
I mean, here we are in the ninth hour, but yeah, I mean, we've had no feedback. But yeah, I think that's great. That's the first feedback I've had. Appreciate it. That's good. But you know what happened last time was when we looked at the array and we were conservative and we shot for the midpoint, all the other counties went pew, and it dropped us way down. So as we try to be conservative and do a little bit, everybody else is not doing the same thing. So that's kind of where we ended up on the lower third there. That's just history. That's just how that worked.
Well, I guess in kind of talking about a little bit what Matt's talking about, I guess my feeling is I think we want to continue to be a little bit conservative. Yeah, I understand the array and trying to be in the middle or whatever, but, you know, the thing is, and you kind of call it a death spiral because this one tries to match up to this one and this one tries to match up to this one, and it's just a stepladder that just continues to go higher and higher and higher. And I don't know that... You know, if you look at the wage and, you know, is it a fair wage? You know, sometimes you kind of got to step back and say, you know, do we really need to be midpoint or do we really need to be on the higher end as opposed to, you know, a fair wage? I think sometimes, you know, it's not always county to county type jobs either. You know, if you were doing the same job out in the general public, would you be making that same wage, or would it be lower, or would it be higher? So while the array is important, and I think we want to try and be equitable to other counties, because otherwise, you know, you run the risk of losing people to other counties and other places. But I don't think that we want to just grab an array and say, hey, we want to be right here on this point. We need to, you know, be concerned, be wise with what we're doing.
You're exactly right. And one thing we have to remember is the extra package, as Lanerhart has alluded to, you know. I've heard the comment made where your medical is a big thing now. The county has good medical coverage. It's up here. You go down to the private guy, it's down here. So everybody should remember that. If they're ever in the private and you have to find your own insurance, you're down here, and it's going to get worse, I'm afraid. So the county has excellent coverage there. I mean, everybody should remember that. I mean, I'd say that would be part of what, you know, we're receiving here, too. So.
Well, I've mentioned that, Terry, several times to my staff. And, of course, you're always wiser when you're older than when you're younger. You know how that goes. Yeah. And I've told them, I said, now with health care the way it's getting to be, that is a big benefit. And I said, I know there's been some talk about some counties getting out of the insurance business. I've been talking to you about that. I can remember Nick was talking about it. And I said, so when you negotiate in your contract, there's something to consider. You do have that. You know, it's not about wages, but it's hard to tell that somebody's younger when you're healthy and you don't care about those things. But Terry's right. I mean, that's a big issue nowadays. So,
also, your holidays. The county has more paid holidays than the private sector has. And that's a big benefit when you figure up over the year how many days you are not working and getting paid for compared to the average public.
Well,
we're talking about the elected officials now, and I can tell you I work Columbus Day.
Okay.
I work Garden Day.
You're right.
So I, and again, I understand as a general thing as employees.
Right.
I see a lot of times I'm up here at 6, 6:30 at night, and there's two or three other cars up here that are other elected officials. We're working. And I'm not jumping on you for that. I'm just saying a lot of the public doesn't understand that. I put in as many hours here as I did in my private practice. And I can tell you it is lower, Gary, than it was in the private practice. But it's a dedication I took on. I understand that. But I think we want to, you know, I look at some of these other comparable counties. I know some of them have less work, less cases. And I think you want to maintain that. Otherwise, you will start. You know, I mean, the whole idea, you want to make sure you keep the people that you have. Because I think you got very good people serving up here. And I'm the newest one of the bunch as far as elected officials. So I didn't come in with any preconceived notion. But I think they really do are good people. And they give you every bit of the best bang for the buck. So, I mean, it's one of those tense things. It's like I was a school board attorney for 20-odd years. There's nothing funner than negotiating contracts with the teachers. It's just one of those kind of inherent frictions that you got to go through every 4 years. And I was talking to Myron. I mean, when you got to set this thing for 4 years, what's going to happen in 2 years? Right now, nobody has a clue. This medical thing could blow up next year. And you guys are going to be coming back going, we can't afford this. Nobody can tell you. You bring in your best experts in here. We had a real good situation with the insurance carrier last year. We didn't have any raises. Does anybody think that's going to happen next year?
Well, I know with the FOP, and then I just heard the school board on their contract negotiated a reopen clause in case. And I don't know if we can do this on this elected officials thing.
That's laid out in state statute that you have to do it every 4 years, and I don't know when it gets that.
And I don't know how Polk County got themselves in the bind like they did. We're talking 19% increase for at least a share. What they were doing to get, I just don't want to see us get to that.
Across the board.
Oh, that's terrible.
and now that you mention that, Dawn showed me, she had a copy of an article from the Grand Island Independent at their last board meeting. They had 10 votes on this official salaries, and all of them failed. They delayed it 2 more weeks, so at their next meeting, they're going to try and solve it again. They had 10 proposals at that board meeting, and every vote failed. So when if you think our discussions is out of line, no, we're doing really good. You know, I mean, because I'm like Gary. I want to be conservative, but I also don't want to fall that far behind. Right. And Gary's right though. It's kind of this climbing ladder spiral thing where you increase, well, then they need to increase, then you increase, and that's that way. Back to Lennart's question though about benefits, and some of the benefits are tied to their salary, and those will also be increased by this percentage. For example, retirement. That is, I believe, tied to salary. That is tied to it. Health insurance, no, that's on more on how our cost is, and that's not tied to the increase in their salary every time and stuff. So anything that's tied to their base package or their salary package, and if it goes up 2%, then that will go up 2% also. And that's just the way that aspect of it works. But not everything's tied to the, not everything's tied to the salary in their benefits or whatever. So
it can vary a little bit then.
It will vary a little bit, but I know I'm pretty sure the retirement, it's tied to your pay or whatever. It's a certain percent. And so if your pay goes up $500 for this year, then your retirement goes up a little bit more too or whatever and stuff. So,
but. So if I was getting $75,000 a year, is the benefits equal to about 15%, or how does it average out about?
More insurance. What's the total premium? Is it 12 grand?
It depends on if you take medical insurance.
If what?
If you take medical insurance.
Oh.
Yeah, if you take the county's medical or not. Yeah. But when we were doing the contract negotiations with the FOP, I thought we were more like a third almost, 30% or a third. I mean, if I can't remember the exact. It was higher than 15%. Your benefits are, but I don't remember the exact. And I shouldn't say.
Well, it depends on if you're taking family or single.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
It's up to 40% as far as that goes. That's why I was wondering. You know, when the figure is based on this is their salary. Well, here I'm sitting, and I'd say most of the people would look at it. Oh, that ain't so bad. They're getting that much, but then you put the benefits on top of that, you got a pretty good salary. With all the benefit. And that is never published, you know. With the total benefits.
Yep. And Roger also was right here. Him and I did have a conversation. This last 4 years, this 2% pay increase was somewhat in line. I mean, we just because of the economy and everything else, it wasn't 5 or 6% a couple of these years.
Cost of living
and so on. Mm-hmm. Him and I had the conversation sitting here today. A 2% looks fine going forward, but we don't. And that's the same with every county. With every time you do this, 2-3 years out, we don't know what it's going to be. But we're setting these for 4 years. We've had that all as part of our conversation, especially in committee meetings and stuff. So, and it affects the budget. This all affects the budget then going forward, because you're including that in the budget. And if 3 years out from now, you have a budget squeeze or tight fall or whatever, this is one place you can't cut, and we've done that before, and we realize that that's part of the budget. You cut a patrol vehicle or you cut a vehicle down at the highway department, and those things happen, and every county is in the same situation with this. So they all have to set the salary. So
next committee meeting will be, date is the December 20th.
20th.
It'll be Friday, and y'all are discussing this in Finance Committee,
yep.
Right? So, you know, but you know, the first time the proposals were first presented 2 weeks ago, but I know it was 2 weeks prior is where we actually had the discussion about getting it together. So, I mean, we've talked about it for a while, but I guess we'll all have. If you can send an email out.
Yep. If Lennart would be in Arizona like he normally is, we wouldn't have this discussion. I brought it up.
Well, there's one other thing. All the elected officials, if they think they need a big pay increase, sometimes it was state mandated. Wasn't it here a few years back that you had to raise everybody in office that was in office? You wasn't in line a number of years back, I think. But anyhow, as long as they all get out and advertise for the job and wanting the job, and there's a lot of competition, the pay should be good. right? For what they know what the pay will be.
And that's why we have to set this, because we have to set it now because there's an election coming up. And you're exactly right. Those folks that run for those offices,
they know what they're getting and what it is. And if it's too much less, they wouldn't run for the office.
Yep.
Mostly I was interested on the road project, really.
So sometimes people run for an office that's substantially less paid, like the Nebraska unicameral legislature. Yeah. And so that's not always how much money you make. Yeah. It's what you can contribute. And when you pay $12,000 or $14,000 for working 80 to 100 hours a week, is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys put in here?
I did, at that in the legislature. Was,
yeah.
Just as an example.
Lenhart.
The guys in the government.
Lenhart, come up to the microphone so that we get it on recording.
Okay.
Might be a slow news day. Doug might need something.
I got to get back home quick. I got to go to church for soup supper. But anyhow, now, like you were saying here, I was surprised, you know, like the guys that serving on the state level. Look at the salary they get. Then I look at the county level, and I says, oh, my golly, they're getting a whole lot more. Why would anybody want to run for the legislature?
I don't know.
At the salary they're getting. You guys is overpaid a little, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe you probably don't think so, but that's all my comment.
For just working 2 hours every couple weeks, if that's all we did, we are getting well.
Well, you got a lot of committee meetings, I'm sure. That.
But we aren't just working a couple
There's
hours.
There's a lot of other.
Weeks.
You got a lot on the side.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but now you've been on the legislature. Now, how do you look at that?
I think we work less than we do as a legislator, but we work very hard, and we are probably closer to the people that we represent, so we spend a lot more time communicating, I think. I communicate as a legislator because I work weekends, nights. I was there for meetings. I was there for breakfast, lunch, dinner, for anybody that wanted me there, and we're the same way. But we work much harder, I think, than people really realize.
The public don't really know it.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on some boards, too. You put in a lot of extra hours.
Most of them do. But that's being a legislator is a very, very tough job. And it's
difficult. And the pay is what I was so surprised.
It's nothing.
Incomparable. I'm going to quit talking.
No, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your comments.
Absolutely.
And on that note, Matt, what Lenhart's saying there about a value and that for, I mean, if you look historically back at some of these positions, I mean, we don't get very many candidates running for them, and it's really kind of disappointing. I mean, so that, you know, what Lenhart's saying is, well, you know, maybe you need to spend more money because you're not getting candidates. I mean, if you don't spend the money, you don't get the candidates. But I guess I don't really know what I'm saying there. But the fact of the matter is, we just don't get people running for a lot of these positions, and it's really kind of disappointing. I know when I ran last time, there was two people running for the position.
But Gary, don't you think a lot of it is, do you really want to take a job like this, be subjected to public scorn on every decision you make, have your name plastered all over the paper because you're secretly doing things? You know, I'm sorry, that discourages, I would say, majority of people from even wanting to call you and talk to you.
Right, the number one issue, and there isn't enough money to make up for that. I mean, when you read the front page of the newspaper, when you read the front page of the newspaper about how horrible you are, and how you do nothing and don't treat people fairly, and you have people knocking on your front door to tell you that you're just absolutely horrible because you raised my taxes, and you don't care about anybody at all except yourself. And I don't feel that's the way I represent people. I don't feel that's the way this board represents people. But you have those people out there who want to be mean and who want to treat you mean. And that's the way that they get attention, is by trying to create as much negativity toward people representing their public like we do. So I won't name names.
Well said.
It's a service.
Yeah.
It's a service.
Yeah. And that's the way I look. I sure ain't doing it for the pay. I can tell you that. Because if you figured it out per hour, what we're getting. I mean, if you're doing the job right.
That's right.
It's not a very good hourly wage.
You're doing it for the coffee, right?
I don't drink coffee, Matt.
I do.
Okay. But that's good, relevant discussion regarding elected officials' wages.
We'll send an email.
I asked Michelle to send an email. Michelle's going to send an email out.
That way, the somebody didn't have to run around. I didn't mean
on
that.
She'll send an email on the 20th at the Finance Committee meeting. If they've got information they'd like to share, please come. Or open-ended, let people know. Give them some feedback. Because, again, I guess it's 4 years ago, when we were first on the board, we did that in the first 6 months. I think we were there. We started working on this, and we had feedback, but there's been none. And I know we've talked about it other times. I don't think it's. We talked about getting the committee together, and then we came up with some proposals, and then in 2 weeks, there's been no feedback that I've had. So, I think we need that feedback to explain the process. But, okay, all right, good discussion. Anything else for the board? Last call. John, been quiet all day.
I was quiet today.
We're going to talk about pharmacy. We're going to get him going one of these times.
Drugs.
Drugs, yeah.
We talked about drugs, didn't we?
Okay, we did talk about drugs.
Yeah,
we missed
did.
That one.
Yeah.
Okay, we will stand adjourned. Next committee meeting is December 20th, and next regular board meeting will be Christmas Eve, the 24th. Yes, sir.
Matt, one more comment I'd like to make on these bids that we received. The low bid on the concrete, both low bids were presented by Warner Construction. The low bid on the concrete was $910,000. I'll just give you round figures. The asphalt was $778,000, which leaves you a difference of $131,000. That's what everybody should think about. I'll get some materials and stuff. What direction we want to go there? Do we want to spend that extra money, or do you want to get it in as low as we can? So I'll get some information that Galen's going to provide, and I'll make sure everybody has that well before our next meeting, so you can make a decision up for your own. What's the best way we should go here?
And life differences between a new asphalt and a new concrete are about 20-year difference.
Supposedly, NDOR says the life expectancy of a concrete road, which is doweled, which this is, we didn't cut any corners on anything here, is 35 years. Asphalt, 15. That comes from NDOR. So I'm going to make sure on those figures, though.
And it's so difference of $131,000,
if I did right.
And basically, if you would more than double the amount that you'd spend on asphalt to replace the same amount of time, you have to consider that, and I think it's very important that we look at that.
Well, it's just two things we got to consider. We have a low bid. Do we want to drive a Volkswagen or a Cadillac in this instance?
How about a Chevy?
Okay, Chevy.
Number one selling
or
truck.
Four.
Yeah, 37 years in a row, number one selling.
I don't know if that's really a good – is that a good comparison, though, a Cadillac to a Ford?
No.
It's actually two. I mean, you're actually talking about apples and oranges when you're talking about asphalt and concrete. True. I mean,
because
asphalt, you're going to have more maintenance, and I mean – well, Jeff's going to have it. He's going to put it all together.
We'll have all that information for you. Yeah. Well, I'll get it to everybody well before the meeting.
Yeah.
So you can think about it and look at all the figures.
So, but there's because one mile of overlay on a 3-inch lift, what are we getting on that? What was that per cost? I mean, it depends on the substructure and everything, but those are things. I guess we'll have some of that discussion now.
On the overlays, this one segment. Well, it's Philly Adams. The projected one was $130,000 per mile.
So basically,
overlay project up there,
and the concrete's not without maintenance. I mean, there's crack filling, and you're going to have to probably saw some joints and do some different stuff like that. But you just look at, yes, sir.
Yeah, Jerry. They bidding on all the same kind of specs? I mean, that
yes. Yes.
I mean, the thickness of the road, it didn't deteriorate.
No. 8 inches.
Okay.
Same type of bid project that was done right up here, North Hospital. Same specs, same everything up there.
On that mile north of the hospital.
It's not cheapened down, lower thickness. No, it's
built. All being done the same deal.
Yes, sir.
I mean, then that way you overload fine. Yep. It'll be up to spec.
Absolutely. Guaranteed. Yep.
All right. Last call.
Hope you guys don't bar me from coming.
Yep.
We appreciate
hurry up and get to Phoenix.
No, he needs to hurry up and go to church.
Yeah,
no, that's what he needs.
All right.
Well, I might have to go for you guys. If there's not, I'm just going to need soup.
What kind of soup are you serving?
Oh, let's see. The missus had to make. I know she's making oyster soup. It's open for anybody who want to come. We'll play a little bunco after dinner.
Yeah.
By the way, okay. You got that card room ready?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you. Yeah, yeah.
You know, now.
Okay, let me adjourn here. We need to be on the record with Mr. Fritzen setting up card party.
Oh, God.
We will stand adjourned. The Gage County Board of Supervisors at 10:36.